You're a little older and a lot wiser. The future is yours. Define aging on your own terms. Welcome to AARP Without Limits with your host, Mike Olander.
Hello and welcome. This is AARP Without Limits, WPTF Talk Radio. We are disrupting aging with the power of 50,000 watts. And our podcast, available anytime on demand at WPTF.com or through our Facebook, AARP North Carolina. I'm your host, Mike Olander of AARP North Carolina. We've got a great program for you today, folks. What is storytelling? Why are stories so powerful? And how do they change the world? Today, we're going to speak with David Hunt about just that. But before we do, folks, as always, we're going to begin the show on a very light note here with a little chit-chat with my partner in crime here in the studio, esteemed production engineer, Mr. Jason Kong. Jason, how are you, sir?
Good, Mike. I feel like I need to tell some kind of story here, but I don't want to eat up too much of our time.
That's all right. We can tell the story about how great the weather is this week. Isn't it just been absolutely amazing? I love May. It's my favorite month, and it is not disappointing already.
Nice warm weather this week. Yeah, it's been wonderful.
That's right. Jason, I'm really, really excited about our guest today. And before we bring him on, I want to share something with you and with our listeners. You know, it's a great thing in life when you run across people or experiences that shape you, you know, that have an impact on your life, that make you look at something differently, that enrich your life, that make you a better person or better at what you do, or, you know, widen your range of understanding for people or the world. And, you know, I think about in my life, you know, there are very few people of whom I can say that. I think about one professor I had when I was at school at Rutgers. I remember this was a class dealing with foreign policy. And I remember taking the exam, and we had to write an essay for the exam on, I think it was actually on the Israel-Palestine conflict. And we had to, you know, make your argument and do 3 points, arguing, supporting your position with everything that you've learned and blah, 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 make this compelling argument for this position. And then you do that, and then you turn the page, and the next question is, do the exact same thing, but take the opposite perspective and be just as convincing as you were in the first question. And I have to tell you, as somebody who was, you know, whatever, 19, 20 years old or whatever at that time, that had such an impact on me because, you know, politics, like so many other things, is rooted in emotion, right? And you feel the way you feel for different reasons. A lot of it's rooted in emotion. And you really need to broaden your perspective beyond how you feel to get an understanding of how complex issues really are and the need for people to come together to solve them. And so I had a great opportunity after that, run into that professor a couple years later and to tell him how much that simple experience of being in his class and running into that exam, you know, kind of unannounced, unprepared for it, really forced me to develop my critical thinking and my sense of empathy and a greater sense of understanding for the world. Another gentleman is our guest today, David Hunt. I was at this academy doing some training. At the time, I was working as a community organizer up in New Jersey. And in here is this gentleman and gives us this talk one evening on the power of story and how storytelling is so, so important. And at that time, we were looking at the world of, you know, how do you make change in the community, you know, using advocacy and other tools. And it was so powerful what he said and how he said it. And I just never had thought about it in that way before. And then some years later, many years went by, and I ran into David again. And this at this point was probably 20 years ago. And he didn't remember who I was. And that was okay because I was just one person of many in a room. But I shared that with him. And I remember he expressed such appreciation back to me. And I was really delighted to have the chance a year or so ago to connect with him again in person in Charlotte. He's moved to North Carolina, and to learn about the work that he is doing, which includes some work with AARP. And that being said, I'm delighted to introduce to the program here an old source of inspiration and friend, David V. Hunt. David, welcome to the program today.
Mike, thank you so much for having me on. I really appreciate it. And especially talking about this issue about the role and power of story and storytelling and how we confront this major negative story about ageism in America.
It's so good to have you with us here, David. And let's please begin where Jason and I were just leaving off at. That talk that you gave on the power of story that left such an impression on me, can we just please begin with that? What is storytelling and why are stories so important to tell and to hear?
Well, in short, the human being is nothing but a storytelling creature. I mean, if you think about it, what we're doing right now is making sound. And through this making of sound, we turn those sounds into what we call words, and those words into meaning, and those meanings into story. And then we live our lives based upon inside of those stories. You know, nations are formed based upon stories. Dating is storytelling. Laws are basically the telling of a story about what has happened to us in the past in terms of our relationships with each other, and then how we want that relationship to change, and then we make that into a law. Wars are fought based upon story. Religion is nothing but story. You know, even time itself is story. It's not 2024 for Jews or for Muslims or for Hindus or for Buddhists. Their sense of time, their beginning of time, comes from a completely different story. So story's all around us. It shapes us, guides us in so many ways, and is at the core of relationships. Let me just say this. If you control the story and the storytellers, you will control the minds of the people. And if you control the minds of the people, you will control the bodies of the people. And so all around us constantly, everything we're going through, there are people sharing their stories. You know, conferences are storytelling. Board meetings are storytelling, right? The news is storytelling, right? Podcasts are storytelling, right? You know, family reunions are storytelling. All around us, all the time, if you really look, what you're really seeing people doing are making sounds, those sounds into words, those words into meanings, and those meanings into stories, hoping that those stories will go into someone's ear and their mind and make them, as Michael talked about, emote, bring about a change in their heart, a change in their mind. And so story is all we are. It's all we do all the time is story.
There's so much wisdom in that. It's not just a philosophical conversation or concept, but wisdom in it because of your, you know, the interpretation of the world. And as I recall what I gathered from that talk, you know, this concept that you shared to me, you know, many years ago, is that it just can cut so many different ways, right? It depends on the storyteller, you know, and the listener too, and what they're kind of tuned into that can have such an impact. David, you've worked with older adults, and I know you've had some experiences with them that left you with a greater awareness and understanding of ageism in American society, as you alluded to a couple of minutes ago. Please tell us a little bit about that, what your experience was like working with older adults, and where that's leading your work now as you think within this context of storytelling.
Oh, wow. Well, you know, a few years ago, my good friend Lois Aronstein, who worked for AARP for about 25 years or so, mainly in the New York and New England region, got me some work with AARP to work with the Northeast region about how to use story and storytelling to both recruit and maintain volunteers, especially coming out of the pandemic. And the funny thing about it, while I was talking to them, by the way, I'm talking to these people who are part of AARP, and I'd stop and go, wait a minute. I'm an AARP member, you know, looking out of the world at my eyes. I'm looking out through eyes of someone who's 40, but looking in the mirror, I see my dad, right? Mm-hmm. So spending this time with folks in AARP, volunteers and leaders and staff, I started to see ageism all around us. And basically ageism, just like other isms, is a belief system based upon story. Mm-hmm. And so basically what we say in America is that once you reach a particular age and that you are no longer productive, so therefore you're no longer really meaningful society. Let's come back and talk some more about that. But ageism fundamentally is based upon a story of once you reach a certain age, there's a different way we should be treated in society.
And what are some of the, like just digging in a little bit deeper into that, the range of experiences that you encountered working with older adults, because the older you live, the more stories you have, right? And hopefully the more wisdom too, if you've learned from those stories. So talk a little bit more about that as you, as a person who's not only a storyteller, but somebody who's, you know, a student of life and learning from adults who are maybe older than you.
Wow. Thank you for that question. You know, the way we pass on our knowledge is through story. And we have folks who are older in our society who have what I like to call crystallized wisdom. Mm. It's wisdom they've acquired over periods of time that's now embodied in them. And sometimes with a crystal, you got to shine some light on it for it really to show all this wisdom. What we haven't done in our society is shine enough light on our older people who have all this wisdom in it so that light can come out and be shared by all of us. If we want to really deal with ageism, we have to find ways to release that crystallized wisdom that are in our folks.
Wonderful. What a great note to end on before we get to this commercial break. When we come back, we're going to dig deeper into this conversation with David Hunt and also talk about a special project that he is working on that you, the listener, just may have the opportunity to make a contribution to. This is AARP Without Limits. We'll be right back. And we are back. This is AARP Without Limits. Just a reminder, folks, that we always love to hear from you. If you have a question, a comment, a suggestion for a future topic or guest, please send us an email to aarpwithoutlimits@aarp.org. We've been speaking today with David Hunt of David Hunt and Associates about storytelling, the power of story, and why it is so important. And right before we got to the break, we were talking about David's experience working with older adults and this idea of, crystallized wisdom. Was that the term you used, David?
That's it.
And it got me thinking here as he spoke a bit about older adults and ageism in America and older adults being, in particular, being overlooked, something that my father shared with me not too long ago. And he, you know, I'm almost 50, Jason, and my dad said to me, well, you know, Mike, as you get older, and he's in his mid-80s now, and he was like, you know, you become more invisible to society. He said, you know, most people become less attractive and less, active in their community, you know, kind of like, you know, in the workplace. And maybe because of physical limitations, less actually physically active in their community. And he said, and slowly society just starts to overlook you. And I thought, oh my gosh, that is a horrible way to look at it. I understand what you're saying, but in a way depressing, because David, getting back to what you said about this idea of crystallized wisdom, we are talking about people who should be getting more attention because of their wisdom. They are repositories for experience and so forth. And I just wanted to share that with you and see if you had any reaction to that, because for me, it was so significant.
Oh, absolutely. You hit me right on it. Listen, you survive things as you go through life, right? Stock market crashes, wars, political battles, marriage, divorce, kids, marriage, divorce, kids again, you know, jobs, you going to school, you survive these things, but along the way, you are picking up knowledge. And at some point, this knowledge can and should be shared with other people. Now, unfortunately, when you leave your job, unfortunately, in America, mainly we are focused only on working. So when you leave your job and you're less productive, almost exiled from that particular community, then society starts thinking, well, what good are you to us? Of course, there's still a lot of relevancy in your life. And of course, you have this knowledge that you should and could be sharing if society only would open their eyes and arms and say, tell us what you've learned along the way. And our society doesn't do that. Our society pushes people aside because they're no longer productive, or they can't use the new technology as much as other people say they should be using it. And imagine what our society would be like if we actually embraced the knowledge of our elders. Imagine the mistakes that we wouldn't be making over and over and over again. Imagine the breadth and depth of knowledge. You know, when I worked for AARP doing these interviews, you know, they had people who've been professors, who've been aerospace engineers, there's people who've been teachers, there's people who've been to depths of the ocean, there's people who've traveled around the world, there's people who survived all sorts of things in the military or in their life, and they have such great knowledge to share. But that crystallized wisdom is pushed aside, and our society is not better for that.
Wow, it's such a profound point. David, you're on a similar note, you're working on a new book project called Relevancy Beyond Retirement. And that term, relevancy, I think is at the heart of much of what you're saying right now. Please share with our audience the purpose and the focus of the book and anything else you want to share about it that folks need to know.
Yeah, well, the purpose of the book is to inspire and educate and motivate people to live a better life in retirement, to start imagining what a life would be like in retirement. Is about relevancy. Now, relevancy basically means meaning and purpose that you have in your life. And what we found in talking to people is that your relevancy is in direct correlation to the amount and depth and breadth of relationships you have. Relationships with other people, and therefore you are sharing your knowledge, your experiences, and they're sharing with you, or your relationship with animals, or your relationship with the earth and the planet. How are you, even in retirement, being in relationship with people? You spoke about your father's conversation there. There's so much isolation amongst us as we get older, right? So much isolation. But there are ways not to be that. So we are going around the country, and even people outside the country are sending us stories at David@davidvhunt.com. David@davidvhunt.com. Stories about how they're being relevant beyond retirement. Now, remember, this is not about how you're being productive and how you're making money. Most people are talking about they've retired, they're not making any money, but they're doing the things that give them meaning and purpose in their life. What's your story? What's your story about how you're being relevant beyond retirement and being in good relationships with people, good relationships with animals or with the earth? And what we find when people talk about that, usually there's always something involved where they are sharing their wisdom and knowledge with other people around them, and typically with younger people. And they get so much joy out of that particular part of sharing their crystallized wisdom. So we're looking for stories. Again, you know, you can send it to David@davidvhunt.com and send me your stories, and we'll see if we can edit them up and maybe publish them.
That would be wonderful. And David, I know you're in the middle of working on this project. What type of timeline are you working for? Because when this show initially airs, it's going to be on May 5th. And I know you're working on it now, so folks need to get it to you sooner rather than later.
Sooner than later. Today is May the 2nd-ish, so how do we go to June the 2nd? Mm-hmm. And again, it does not have to be perfect. Mm-hmm. Okay, we are giving you the power, the right to send in drafts of it. It's completely fine. In fact, if you send me an email, I'll kind of send you a sample story and outline the types of questions we hope you will answer in your story.
Great. So that is David@davidv, as in Victor. Or you said Vernon.
Either one.
David@davidvhunt.com. David, on the opposite end of the age spectrum is younger people. Life today for kids and young adults is very different than anything else the world has seen before. Technology and social media have made us all more connected in one sense, but people also feel more isolated. And I'm wondering, what are your thoughts on how this has affected the power of storytelling, with there being so many digital interactions and transmissions, distractions, one could call them? Are we losing the power of story, or is there a greater opportunity having all of this technology and social media?
Yes to both your questions. You're right. There are so many more ways to communicate with each other. That people being could be overwhelmed by it, but they're also doing it in isolation. They're doing it through texts and emails and Zooms, et cetera. That's actually not really communication. You know, 85% of language is actually body language.
Mm.
And so without that physical involvement of seeing the person's face when they're smiling, they're moving their body around, they're waving their hands, you're missing 85% of the communications. You know, the word conversation is actually Greek for intimacy.
Hmm.
And so we say we're having these conversations, but we're actually just texting people. We're actually just emailing people. That's not a conversation. That's just sending some information. So yes, our society is really losing the ability to be in meaningful relationships with each other. You know, when they came on Facebook and said, I have 100 friends. No, friends date your sister. Friends come to your house. Friends borrow your money. Friends break your heart. You know, friends come and hold you when you've been in a bad relationship. That's what a friend is. So we're misusing this very important terminology about relationship. Listen, you cannot form a meaningful relationship without creating safe and sometimes even sacred space for people who take off these heavy masks that we're forced to wear all the time, simply take it off and say, let me tell you my real story. Let me tell you about my hopes, my dreams, my desires, my fears. Let me tell you who took away my voice. Let me tell you how I might have been wounded in life and how I've struggled to overcome those wounds, or I've overcome them. That's how you, and when you create that safe space, the other person says, well, let me take off my mask and tell you who I am. Tell you about my hopes, my fears, my dreams for me, my people, my family. Let me tell you who maybe gave me a sense of myself. Let me tell you what I desire in life. And in that moment, the relationship is formed and then grows from that. But you can't do that with a text. You want to see the eyes. You want to see the mouth movement. You want to see the head bobbing back and forth. You want to see the shoulder. You want to see the emotion. Emote means to stir up. You want to see what's stirred up in somebody. So yes, the technology is in many ways dehumanizing us, in many ways, but it doesn't mean it has to be that way. But that's kind of how we're using it. You know, so many people today won't even, especially unfortunately younger people, won't even leave a voice message. There's so much anxiety about how they might be judged by other people. There's so much judgment and and therefore they're isolating themselves from a lot of other people, particularly their parents and older people as well. So we as a society have to understand the ancient and ever-present power of storytelling and how it's involved in every single aspect of our lives and figure out how to use it to build better sense of relationship amongst us. If we don't do that, our society is doomed.
I agree completely, and it's fascinating. And I'm stunned by that statistic, 80% of language is body language. And I've wondered, David, you know, through COVID, folks were so connected more than ever before with using Zoom and stuff, people who'd never used it, my family, all that, we were connected through Zoom a lot. And that definitely helped keep communications alive. But it's almost like the soul knows that it's digital, right? Like it's, and I think you're right, you know, whether it's a text or something, and people won't even go to the trouble, you're right, of leaving a voicemail. They'll say, oh, they'll see the notification that I tried calling, but they don't hear your voice. They don't even have that imprint of your communication, let alone that 80% of language by there being no body language there.
Yeah, you send an emoji, but I went, but what about the longing? Did you hear the longing in my voice? Mm. My desire, you know?
Right. Yeah. Fascinating stuff. David at davidvhunt.com is his email address, folks. Again, if you have a story to share that you'd like to send to David, and it just may end up in his book. David Hunt, thank you so much for being with us, my friend. I look forward to connecting with you again at some point soon. And of course, look forward to seeing how this project winds up showing up on bookshelves. Thank you, folks. We are out of time. I want to thank David Hunt again for being our guest. Thank you to Jason Kong for production. Thank you for listening. This has been AARP Without Limits. I'm Mike Olander with AARP North Carolina. We'll see you next time.